Now today, if you have your Bible with you and would like to read along in the scripture reading, 2 Timothy chapter 2, I am going to read in verses 14 and 15 of Paul's second letter to young Timothy, chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15. Before we read the text, I want you to bow with me in just a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the open book. Give us open hearts to receive it. Give us open minds to learn it. And give us open hands to give it out to somebody else. And as we meditate in these moments upon the scriptures, may our convictions be crystallized. And may we go away rejoicing because of the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. This is our prayer and these are our petitions as we ask them all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Christian life is not an off again, on again, up and down, in and out, here today, gone tomorrow proposition. When once we claim Jesus Christ as our Savior and adopt the faith that we know as Christianity, the Bible makes it clear, unmistakably clear, that there are certain doctrines, beliefs, and convictions to which we as believers must subscribe. Christianity is a way of life. It is a way that we ought to be careful about sharing with others through our own convictions. My message to you today is simply my convictions. First of all, I would say to you that it is my conviction that if a person has to ask, "Who is my neighbor?" he doesn't know much about the Good Samaritan. Secondly, it is further my conviction that if a man has to ask, "What is my cross?" he doesn't know much about discipleship. And third, if a man has to ask, "What is the new birth?" he doesn't know much about the doctrine of eternal life. I am convinced and convicted that if you have to ask, "Who is my neighbor?" you do not know much about the doctrine of the Good Samaritan. The story of the Good Samaritan is one of the most fascinating and intriguing stories in all the lids of the Bible. It goes like this. Once a man came to Jesus, a lawyer, and he said to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said in so many words, "You are of the Jewish faith. You embrace the law of Moses. What does the law say?" And he began to list the things that the law said. And Jesus said, "Thou hast well said. Go and thou shalt live." And then the question comes up concerning the neighbor. And remember, Jesus said, on this commandment hinges all the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy spirit, and thy neighbor as thyself. And the young lawyer, trying to test or prove Jesus, said, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus told the story about the Good Samaritan. It seems there was a man on one occasion who was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And Jesus said the man fell among thieves and robbers, who stripped him of his clothes, who took his money, who threw him in the ditch and left him for dead. And there came along a priest. And when he saw this man's condition, Jesus said, are you listening? Don't listen to me. Listen to what Jesus said. The priest passed by on the other side. And then Jesus said, there came by a Levite. And when he saw the man and beheld his condition, he likewise passed by on the other side. Let me stop here just long enough to say, there are a lot of people in the world who think that the people who are on a bit lower social rung of the ladder are somehow going to contaminate them. Not so the Good Samaritan. For Jesus said the Good Samaritan came by and saw him and went to him and had compassion on him and bound up his wounds and put him on his beast of burden and carried him to the inn. And when he got ready to leave, he said, here is some money, and if you spend any more on this man, when I come back, I'll repay you. Three men in that story that hold our attention. The priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan. In those three men, there are three philosophies of life. Hear them carefully, will you? One, the priest and the Levite both said, what is mine, and I'm going to keep it. The robbers and thieves who attacked this poor soul said, and the second philosophy of life is expressed in this thought, what is yours is mine. And I'm going to get it if I can. And the third philosophy is spoken by the Good Samaritan. And he said, what is mine is yours. You can have it if you need it. There are the three basic philosophies in life. That first one is a philosophy of selfishness. The most miserable, discontented, unhappy person in all the world today is the person who's selfish. Like the man who prayed, Lord, bless me, my four, and no more. A whole lot of members of Worth Baptist pray and live that same prayer. Now from this wonderful story and the three philosophies, I draw three conclusions. One, it is the Christian's duty to be neighborly. It is written, love thy neighbor as thyself. It is written, if any shall ask thee of thy coat, give him also thy cloak. It is written, if a man ask you to go 1 mile, go with him too. That's being neighborly. It is the Christian's duty to so be. Second, it is the Christian's, of a Christian's neighbor is anybody who stands in need of His help. You see, we're talking about the Jews and Samaritans. They were poles apart. I say again, the second conclusion, the Christian's neighbor is anybody who stands in need of His help, whether he be Baptist or Methodist, rich or poor, black or white, up or down, saved or lost, at home or abroad. The third conclusion, to pass by on the other side is to renounce a principle taught by Christ and to miss out on many wonderful blessings. I can imagine that the Good Samaritan felt real good when he left that inn that day. Why? Because somebody had done something for him? No. Because he had done something for somebody else. You know the reason a lot of us never really feel good, and I don't mean physically, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually, is because we're waiting on somebody to give and do for us to make us feel good. Come a little bit closer. If you really want to feel good, do something for somebody else. I say again that it's the Christian's duty to be neighborly. And if you don't know who your neighbor is, you don't know much about the Good Samaritan. I read a story about a man who purchased a new farm, moved in the house, and the very first day he met one of his neighbors. The neighbor came over and said to the newcomer, "Mister, I understand you bought this farm." "That's correct," he said. "Well, I want you to know right now that you have bought yourself a lawsuit." "Lawsuit? Just what do you mean?" He said, "Well, you see that fence right down there? That fence is 10 feet on my side, and I'm going to take you to court to prove it." And the newcomer said, "Wait just a minute. Is that fence 10 feet on the wrong side? Then let's just go move the fence." And the man said, "You really mean it?" He said, "Yes." He said, "The fence stays right where it is." See what I mean? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. A man wouldn't want to cheat himself out of 10 feet, would he? Then he wouldn't cheat his neighbor. The fence stayed there because L-O-V-E, love, always wins out. My second conviction is that if a person has to ask, "What is my cross?" he doesn't know much about discipleship. There are 5 words particularly that are used in the Bible for Christians. One, we are called sons, and that denotes our relationship to God. Two, we are called saints, and that denotes our holiness in Christ Jesus. Three, we are called brothers. That denotes for us the tie that we have with other Christians. Fourth, we are called believers. That denotes our faith. And finally, we are called disciples. And that speaks of our service for God and our service for man. Jesus tells the story of discipleship in Luke chapter 14. He makes 2 comparisons to do so. Number one, he says if a man is going to build a tower, and we would say today a skyscraper, he would not begin that building until he had first sat down and figured out the cost, lest when he has laid the foundation, he cannot finish the building, and all of his friends and fellows say how foolish he was to begin something he could not end. Or Jesus said, if a king is going out to war, he first sits down to reason within himself, I have 10,000 men. Can I go against that king who has 20,000 men? He sits down to count the cost. Beloved, before you and I take the yoke of discipleship, we'd best sit down and count the cost. For to be a believer is cheap. To be a disciple is costly. It's extravagant. Jesus said, if any man come after me and hate not his own mother and father and brethren and sisters and wife and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Does Jesus really say that? Yes. And I want to read it to you. In the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verse 26. Now listen to it. You can read it when you get home. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. In the same chapter in verse 33, Jesus said so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all he hath, let me read it to you, he cannot be my disciple. Didn't say he couldn't be saved, couldn't be a believer, or a saint, or a son, or a brother. But he said he can't be my disciple. If a man has to ask, what is my cross, he doesn't know anything about discipleship. Well, in Matthew's gospel, listen to these words. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, in verse 37... 38, I want you to listen to these words. Correction. 37, 38, and 39. Listen to these words. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Does that sound like the price is too great to pay? Then if you think it does, I want you to consider the price that Jesus paid for your soul. If it's too high, look at the cross. Look at Christ dying for your sins, bearing your sins and my sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And besides all that, if you think the price is too much to pay, I want you to consider the reward. Mark chapter 10, verse 28 and verse 29 and verse 30. Then Peter began to say unto him, are you listening, Peter? Are you listening, church member? Friend, are you listening? Jesus, Peter said unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Here's the reward. Listen to it. If you think the price is too much, look at the dividend. If the initial investment is too great, listen to the dividend. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and for the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold N-O-W. Now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. If you're asking what is my cross, I fear you don't know much about discipleship. For to be a disciple involves three things particularly. One, a disciple must deny himself. He must live as though he doesn't live, but Christ lives in him. Second, he must take up his cross. And third, he must follow Jesus. Oh, I thought the cross was something that fell on me, and God bless the well-intentioned, well-meaning persons who say, well, I guess that's my cross in life. No, no. Your cross in life is not an unsaved husband or a sick child. You didn't voluntarily ask for that, did you? Jesus didn't say, brace your back and let a cross fall on you. Jesus said, take up a cross. Your cross is something that you voluntarily suffer and bear for Christ. Not many of us have backs that crosses fit on. Ours fit on cushions instead of crosses. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Follow him where? Wherever he leads. Through the valley of sorrow, in the time of trial, through the valley of death, but ultimately to the throne of God. Somebody says, well, what about old so-and-so? They've been saved a whole lot longer than I have. And they don't go out to visitation. And they don't come to Sunday night service. And they don't go to prayer meeting. And they don't tithe. What about them? You know, Peter asked the Lord that question one day. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He asked him the second time. Thou knowest I love thee. He asked him the third time. Thou knowest, Lord, I love thee. Well, then, Peter, get busy and serve me. I want to say this before I finish the story with Peter. If you love Christ, you'll serve him. If you love souls, you'll visit and witness and pray. I don't know what enlarging this auditorium is going to do, but it's going to enlarge my vision. And I'm going to tell you this morning that you will never be comfortable in Worth Baptist Church if you are not willing to witness and visit and pray and give and go. Amen. You'll never be comfortable. Amen. Even on a cushion. You won't even be able to sleep anymore either. Now let me get back to my story about Peter. Peter said, Lord, what about John? He's been saved longer than I have. Wait just a minute, Jesus said. Now you can read this in the 21st chapter. I'm not telling you a fairy tale. I'm giving you the truth. You know what Jesus said? He said, Peter, what is that to you? Follow me. You know what he really said in our language? Peter, mind your own business. I'll take care of John. You follow me. Don't you say, so-and-so doesn't give and so-and-so doesn't go. You let God take care of them and you do the thing that you're supposed to do. And if you have to ask what is my cross, I dare say it is my conviction that you don't know much about discipleship. Well, we got a new look and we got a new preacher this morning. Going to these fellowship meetings kind of puts... You know what I've been saying all through the years? I want to apologize right here. I've been saying to myself, preacher, you don't have time to go to fellowship meetings. And I haven't been going. But by the grace of God, I'm going to start going. Because you know what it does for me? The same thing that I pray, God, that you're getting right now. You see, I don't have anybody to preach to me. And I'm first to confess that I need it as badly as you need it. And my soul was thrilled as I heard my fellow preachers ring the gospel bell and preach the truth. Brother, the time has come when we as Bible believers need to start making an impact on the world. We need to let this city know we're in business for God. We're sitting around on soft cushions and in a rocking chair when we ought to be out doing something for God. If you have to ask, what is my cross? I say again, I'm convicted you don't know much about discipleship. I would not leave you without giving you that third conviction again. If a man has to ask, what is the new birth? He doesn't know much about the doctrine of eternal salvation. Jesus tells us what the new birth is all about in John chapter 3. When Nicodemus came to him and said, Master, we know that thou art a teacher sent from God, because no man can do all of this except God be with him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want to tell you this morning, if you're depending on your church membership to get you to heaven, you're going to hell. I want to tell you this morning, if you're depending on good works to get you through the gates, you're going down, down, down. For I am here to tell you this morning that all men, regardless of their station and rank in life, need the new birth. You say, but I've been baptized. You went down a dry sinner, you came up a wet sinner. You say, but I've taken the cup of the Lord. You drank a sinner and you ate a sinner then. Because that won't do it. Every man needs the new birth. And in order to be saved, a man must realize he's lost. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you. That includes me. And the third thought about this new birth, the only way to get to heaven is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Oh, hallelujah. Believe, only believe, and the work is done. I read a story about a man who had a dream. I want to share it with you. And in his dream, he dreamed that he was climbing a ladder to heaven. Every time he did a good deed, he stepped up one more rung on the ladder. And he was right at the top of the ladder and just needed one step to get into heaven. And just in his dream, as he started to put his foot up on the very top rung of the ladder, there was a great crash. And the ladder fell from under him. And down, 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 down he went. And he heard a voice as he went down in his dream, saying, I am the door. He that entereth into the door of the sheepfold any other way, or climbeth up in any other way, the same is a thief and a robber. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. You shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross you miss. Let us bow for our prayer. Our Father, as we wait upon Thee in these moments, we pray the Holy Spirit to indict hearts all over this congregation today. Bring us to that place in our own hearts and in our own lives where we will learn of discipleship, that we will learn of the doctrine of the Good Samaritan, and for those who are lost, that they might learn of the doctrine of the new birth. For those who are yet seeking a church home, may they come. For those who need a prayer of dedication, may they come. Whatever the needs are, may men and women come today to trust Thee for every need. As we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake.